This is Second Look. I'm Bob Levicky, WMRA's news director. It's great to be with you on this Memorial Day weekend. We've got a bunch of stories to get to from the past week, including Calvin Pinn's look at last weekend's Pinewood Derby race in Harrisonburg. If you were a scout, you probably built one of those little racing cars out of a block of pine wood. The scouts are changing, and that was much in evidence at last Sunday's race. Find out how. Also, Peter Jump tags along with one rural doctor who may be an example of the return to an old medical tradition, the house call. And on one of the busiest weekends for holiday travel in the U.S., Jesse Nadler explores who is behind the increasingly clever safety messages that interstate travelers are seeing on VDOT's electronic road signs. That requires the writing skills of the old Twitter days. But first, in Northeast Harrisonburg, a group is working to restore a house built by formerly enslaved people. The house survived urban development in the mid-1900s, and soon it will be the site for a museum about the community's history. WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz reports.
There is no better place but this home to tell the history of the community. It has survived a lot.
Karen Thomas is the president and founder of the Northeast Neighborhood Association, or NENA, in Harrisonburg. On a recent morning, she's showing me the Dallard Newman House on the corner of Kelly and Myrtle Streets in what used to be called Newtown.
This house, it was built in 1895 by the former slaves from the Riverbank Plantation in Elton. They came, and when they were freed, they settled here, and they built this house. Of course, this was added.
The house, which Thomas said NENA is currently renting but has an agreement to purchase for $46,000, is being rehabilitated to become a museum, library, and the headquarters for the community organization. The house is next door to a church. Together, they are listed in the Virginia Landmarks Register and National Register of Historic Places as the Bethel AME Church and Dallard Newman House Historic District.
The craftsmanship of these men that built this house and the church, you know, it's just something unbelievable. It seems like every day we see something different, you know, that we never noticed before. And back here, I've heard that that door used to be where the ice man would come and leave ice in a bucket back there. He would come through here, and they had like a big old tub here, and that's where they would dump the ice at for him. That's so interesting.
Thomas grew up in this neighborhood, as did Harrisonburg Mayor Dina Reed, who said she wants this house to be a place where people can come to learn about the history of African Americans.
It's important that you come here once we have it open as a museum, because you can actually, when you're here, you can feel the ancestors in this house.
That history includes urban renewal in the late 1950s and 60s, when the city used eminent domain to tear down some 150 homes in Newtown, including rental properties in disrepair, but also well-cared-for homes owned by residents, to be replaced with businesses and parking lots along Mason Street, Rose's Department Store, and the Elizabeth Street parking deck, for examples. For the displaced people, the Harrisonburg Redevelopment and Housing Authority built nearly 100 public housing units. In his 2017 book, Picturing Harrisonburg, Visions of a Shenandoah Valley City Since 1828, James Madison University professor David Aaron Price writes that this urban development came at, quote, extraordinarily high human costs, particularly to the African-American community. Eldon Kurtz is on the NENA Board of Directors.
Yeah, the feelings are very similar to folks up on the mountain that were displaced with the Shenandoah National Park when that came through. People's family homestead. That's you know, even if the houses weren't the grandest homes, they were people's homes. That was their property. That was their, they were landowners at that point. And so they lost that base of ownership in the community. So that's a tragic part of the history. There's still wounds, deep wounds from that,
from families that have been here for the long haul.
NENA organizer Stephen Thomas said that he's proud of how volunteers in the community, including the carpenters here today, have supported the Dallard Newman House restoration.
The hands that built this home were hands that had previously been held in bondage. And so to see the people come out to support what we're trying to do here, which is to take what we believe is a living memorial and to adequately and appropriately honor it and honor the space, and then, of course, make it available to the community all over again. It's a task that is, isn't easy, but it's certainly one that is spiritually and culturally fulfilling in very rare ways.
Karen Thomas points to a picture in the 2009 book Keeping Up With Yesterday by Ruth Tolliver.
This is my dad right here. There were big, beautiful homes in this community, and this is how they had their outings that they had in each other's homes.
She's looking to the broader community for ongoing help and funding for the museum through a GoFundMe campaign.
You know, it was terrible how they came through and tore the neighborhood down and just displaced people and destroyed their homes. This is why this house is so important and so significant, to tell the history of all that and the history that came before all that, how the community was built, and tell our history the way it should be told from people that lived it and their ancestors.
She expects the museum and library to open in 2019. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer-Kurtz.
About one-third of children in Harrisonburg live in single-parent homes. Last weekend, one Valley chapter of the Boy Scouts of America gathered local businesses, community members, and scouting enthusiasts to raise money and awareness. And as WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports, it was a time-honored scouting event, a Pinewood Derby.
There's a lot that goes into turning a little block of Pinewood into a race-winning car. Weight, size, wheel placement. But as longtime Venture Scout Carly Watson explains, it's all about function over fashion.
This is not a fancy-looking car, first off, because it's a very basic, you know, there's no cool designs or anything. So this was, we were going for the science, not the looks. So it's pretty, but not fancy.
That philosophy drove Watson's car into first place during the Stonewall Jackson Area Council's first corporate Pinewood Derby on Sunday. But it is also one of the many lessons that can be taken for those who participate in scouting. The desire to continue imparting those lessons brought several local businesses and a couple dozen more scouting enthusiasts to Melrose Caverns to celebrate scouting and raise money for the council's Massanutten District, which covers Harrisonburg, Rockingham County, and Pendleton County, West Virginia. Michael Alexio, a Harrisonburg ear, nose, and throat doctor and former Boy Scout, pulled the event together after learning of a growing number of single-family households in the area.
As a physician, I hear from patients, a lot of patients, all the time, kind of the heartbeat of the community, what's going on. And what I hear is there is a lot of youth that have a lack of mentors in their lives.
The American Community Survey's 2018 study, which collected data between 2012 and 2016, shows that 35% of children in Harrisonburg live in single-parent households, with 22% in Rockingham County and 26% in Pendleton County. Those numbers tend to hold steady, but have gone up slightly since 2011. That prompted Alexio to act.
And I know from a practical standpoint that those parents are working really hard just to make ends meet. So there's not a lot of time, or there's no time to be with your kids and teach them the right from wrong.
Local business owners and other attendees raised more than $27,000 for the Massanutten District, in part through participation in the Derby. As any scout will tell you, it's a time-honored tradition, but this race was a little different. Adults usually only help build the children's cars. This time, though, the grown-ups got to race.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wow! Those were smoking fast.
The Stonewall Jackson Area Council covers 13 counties across the Shenandoah Valley, with more than 3,500 scouts and more than 1,800 individual adult volunteers. And just like the Boy Scouts of America overall, is self-funded. The money raised will help cover a wide range of expenses, from new docks and a dining hall expansion at Camp Shenandoah, to covering registration fees for scouts who couldn't afford them otherwise. For children lacking mentorship, the money raised will also fund outreach efforts for families unaware of scouting as an option for their children.
We've always been steadfast in our relationships with single-parent families where they need that role model, they need that character, leadership building segment.
Jim Battaglia is Chief Operating Officer for the Stonewall Jackson Area Council.
We subscribe to the principle that the role model defines how a child can develop their own character over time. It really depends on the family and the individual and what they're looking for.
The Corporate Pinewood Derby followed a significant announcement for the Boy Scouts of America earlier this month, as the organization will change its name next February to Scouts BSA to reflect girls' inclusion in the organization. Girls can already participate in the Co-Ed Venture Scouting and Cub Scouts program, but will be able to earn merit badges and climb the ranks to become Eagle Scouts next year. Joe Reisinger is a scout leader currently serving as the council's vice president of science, technology, engineering, and math, and wants to clear up the misconception about girls being allowed in the scouts for the first time.
In fact, it was a push from the parents of scouts who for many, many years have been taking the little girl along with the little boy, the brother and sister that is, taking him off to the scout meeting, and the girl participates just as much as the little boy does.
Reisinger's example closely parallels Watson's experience. She, as a venture scout, got into the program following her three older brothers.
I've learned so much. I've learned not only outdoor skills, but leadership skills. And I've been able to be confident and be able to find a job and getting into school and things like that. It makes you 10 times more confident as a person.
For those involved in scouting, those lessons amount to more than just earning merit badges. Or in Carly's case, winning first place in the Pinewood Derby. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
The old practice of doctor home visits, they used to be known as house calls, is making a bit of a comeback. The Centers for Disease Control estimates that in 20 years, two-thirds of elderly Americans will have multiple chronic conditions, making it difficult for them to get to a doctor's office or hospital. That means they'll need more care at home. WMRA's Peter Jump rode along with one physician squeezing a home visit into his busy day.
Hello!
It's a cold, rainy day. Dr. Brooke Bostick, a physician with Sentara Green Family Medicine in Rutgersville, is making a hospice visit to an elderly gentleman in the advanced stages of Alzheimer's disease. His wife, Marcia, greets us.
Hello! Well, good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. We're going to go back and see Mr. Gibson.
Okay.
How's he been doing?
He keeps his eyes closed a whole lot. He doesn't always eat everything I give him anymore.
Like most physicians, Bostick's day is one office appointment after another. But several times a week, he uses his lunch break to make home visits. They start with a horrid car trip into the countryside, frequently navigating dirt roads. Bostick has about 20 home visit patients. Many of the patients are in hospice.
I focus my attention on just how to make the days a little better. And if there's little pieces that I can improve upon, I feel that is a success that is improving their quality of life or helping to head off a bad outcome before it happens.
Bostick asks Marcia questions to help him make an assessment. Home health aides make frequent visits, but Marcia is her husband's chief caregiver. It's a pattern familiar to millions of families, spouses and adult children, often elderly and infirm themselves, looking after very sick people. After getting the update from Marcia, Bostick goes to see her husband, taking his time to do a thorough physical exam before giving Marcia his thoughts, and then once again hurriedly leaving to get back on the road. On the drive back, Bostick reflects on the visit and his work.
The pros of me making home visits are me seeing the patient in their home environment, going over their medicines they're actually taking, their great convenience to the patient who may not be able to get into the office without a whole lot of support and may not be able to stand up and transition to a wheelchair.
And home visits help alleviate the stress and discomfort of the inevitable.
As time goes by, you just get weaker or worse, and you go to the hospital because of a crisis, you come out and you're weaker than when you went in.
In making home visits, Bostick is making a difficult decision. The traditional fee-for-service model of the U.S. healthcare system works against home visits. Why spend 20 minutes on the road, 45 minutes with a patient, and then spend another 20 minutes rushing back to the office when you can shuffle several patients in and out of your office every hour? The choice may soon become easier.
If we can provide care at home timely, it will reduce emergency visits and hospitalization. Eventually saves Medicare money.
Aaron Yao is an assistant professor of healthcare policy at the University of Virginia. He points to initiatives by several agencies, including the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS.
There are pilot programs going on, like this, the Independence at Home demonstration project within CMS. So that's a cost-sharing experiment where, you know, if house calls save Medicare money, the savings are shared with the doctors.
Ultimately, Yao believes that an expansion in home visits will be driven by demographics.
So in a Medicare population, the average age of a patient receiving home visits is about 83 years old, and they have multiple chronic conditions.
And that simple truth means that as our population ages, many healthcare professionals are likely to spend more time visiting patients in the place they do best, and the place they want to be, their home. For WMRA News, I'm Peter Jump.
Despite rising gas prices, a gallon of gas is about 70 cents higher now than it was a year ago. AAA says more drivers are on the roads this Memorial Day weekend, about a 5% increase over last year. And one thing you may notice whenever you're on the road, some memorably worded digital safety signs from the Virginia Department of Transportation. The signs might read, "Signal intention for crash prevention," or "See the cone, respect the zone," or even something that riffs on pop culture. WMRA's Jesse Nadler talks to the wordsmiths at VDOT to find out what's going on with those catchy signs.
There was a time not so long ago when all that was required of a highway safety sign was to get to the point. Slow down. Merge left. Don't drink and drive. Good advice, not memorable. But we now live in a world where traffic fatalities are actually increasing. They're up 20% in Virginia, according to VDOT. This despite big advances in road and vehicle technology. Why is this happening? Five big, not totally surprising reasons. Speeding, driving without a seatbelt, distraction, hello smartphone, drowsiness, and driving while impaired. Here's VDOT spokesperson Shannon Marshall.
VDOT's number one priority is safety, so we've been using catchy messages in hopes of getting drivers' attention to start a conversation about safe driving.
It's part of VDOT's year-old campaign to get people to focus more while driving.
Really, the point is just for people to start looking up at the signs and start reading it.
Dan Taylor is VDOT's statewide traffic operations specialist. He's the guy in charge of creating the clever messages.
You know, this is one of the fun things that we get to do.
Are you ready for some of his team's more inspired quips? Here goes. Drive hammered, get nailed. 5 minutes late won't kill you. Speeding can. And here's one for football season. Don't fumble, tackle drunk driving. This one was tied to the release of the last Star Wars movie. Speeding leads to the dark side. And here's one for Halloween. Don't become the walking dead. Creating catchy highway signs presents an interesting writing challenge. How do you capture attention targeted to a specific driving misbehavior from motorists flying by at 70 miles an hour? That's both pithy and serious, and do it in 24 characters or less. It's not easy.
The goal of that is to tie it to a behavior. So a motorist will be driving unbuckled. They'll see a quick little quip about driving buckled.
Sometimes fatality statistics will follow the quip.
So then maybe they're inclined to change their behavior. Here's an action and here's a result.
Taylor says he looks to other states for inspiration. Turns out Utah's and Iowa's transportation departments are hotbeds of captivating safety signs. The Iowa guys riff on Taylor Swift lyrics. Utah ran a sign over Thanksgiving that said the state is thankful for safe drivers. Taylor co-opted that one for Virginia.
You know, we're not stealing it, but it's just a good idea.
Once Taylor's team signs off on the phrasing, the five VDOT regional centers decide what signs they want for their specific areas. And it's not necessarily tied to where the most accidents occur, but where management thinks the signs will receive the most eyeballs.
You might see it on social media. You might see someone retweet about it or comment how funny the sign was that they saw.
But clever safety signs can also backfire. One of Taylor's most buzzed about signs was inspired by the blockbuster Black Panther. It read, "Wakanda, driver, are you? Safety is king."
Yeah, I mean, the creative process is what it is. The Wakanda thing came to me in one night.
If you don't know what Wakanda is, you may want to get out more. But it was so clever that drivers in Northern Virginia were actually slowing down as they neared it. This caused congestion. See, creating a good safety sign is tricky. Marshall again.
Anytime there's congestion or distractions related to it, we absolutely will blink them out until it clears.
Blink it out. That's VDOT language for making the sign go blank. As for whether the signs actually change driver behavior, that's really difficult to measure. Taylor is fine in his role as influencer.
If we can just influence one person, great. If we influence 200,000 people or whatever, that's icing on the cake.
As Virginians head out for Memorial Day weekend, maybe, just maybe, some will actually ponder, Wakanda driver, are you? For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
Support for WMRA's News and Information Fund, which makes our award-winning coverage possible, is provided by Bibb and Dolly Frazier, Les and Johnny Grady, Klein May Realty, Eugene Stoltzfus Architects, Joy Lovin, Janet Tretner, Nancy Barber, Pam and Jim Huggins, an anonymous donor, and by a grant from a donor-advised fund of the Community Foundation of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. As is always the case, you can find much more about all the stories you heard today and every day at WMRA.org, and that includes photos and hyperlinks that you can follow to learn more. If you're interested in supporting our ability to keep bringing you these kinds of stories and all the news, go to our website, mouse over news, then click on News and Information Fund, and you can support our news effort that way. And be sure to click like on Facebook at WMRA Public Radio, and you can follow me on Twitter at WMRA News to get the latest on our coverage. In the meantime, you can get a daily local news update on your smartphone every weekday morning. Subscribe to our news podcast. It's called the WMRA Daily. And speaking of the news, coming up this week, we'll be watching what state lawmakers can come up with. They have still not been able to come to an agreement on the state's budget for the next fiscal year. And the deadline is the end of June. Last week, Governor Ralph Northam turned up the heat a little bit. He said the legislature must act soon. The sticking point is still disagreement over Medicaid expansion, and the problem is that Republican lawmakers are divided on that question. The Senate and House of Delegates will reconvene this week. Also, WMRA's Christopher Clymer-Kurtz will have a report this week on a coalition of faith congregations in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County that is advocating for criminal justice reform at the local level by focusing on several initiatives that they believe are doable and will have a positive impact. We'll have that and much more in the news in the coming days. I'm Bob Levicki, WMRA's news director and Morning Edition host. I'll talk to you in the morning. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and have a safe Memorial Day weekend.